everybody. Welcome to episode 20 of the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
20 episodes, guys. That's a milestone, right? We can count that. It's significant.
Absolutely.
In the next set of 10, so that's pretty awesome. Before we get going, a few announcements first. Congrats to Robert Chamberlain. He is our contest winner. Hopefully you have some interest in Legacy, since unfortunately you won't be playing the Stoneforge Mystic and Modern, but maybe sometime in the near future. We'll see after everything shakes out a little bit. But yeah, we actually had no one vote on the page that it would get that it would remain banned, and none of us thought it would get remain banned either, and we were all wrong. But what are you going to do? Speaking of which, we do have some interesting modern ban lists. That's going to be what we talk about for the most for the majority of the show. But we are going to start here with some news and stuff like normal. First, before that, announcement concerning Rob. We will be losing Rob here for a couple of months, unfortunately.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of votes in, a lot of feedback. No one really likes Rob, so
nope.
we're just gonna put him on hiatus for a while.
Put baby in the corner.
Everything dies down. Rob, did you want to say why you're gone? You
can say, yeah, right? Yeah, I can say why I'm going. I'm going out on deployment here soon, and I should be back by our Cinco de Mayo special. That's right, I just announced it. We're having a Cinco de Mayo special. It's going to be on Telemundo and Radio Espanol.
Spoilers, Rob, spoilers.
Universal.
Oh, you're going to be giving Universal away some cards printed in Spanish. That'd be great.
Yeah. Se hablas en español.
All right. So, so let's get into some news items here. So the first item we have here is the statement Wizards released on proxies. I'll be totally honest, I did not read this. So who's up to speed on this?
I'm up to speed on it. this statement has always been out there. Wizards rule on proxies have never been allowed, but it's always been a what's the word I'm looking for? Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Where they wouldn't look into it. But since 100 people are now asking questions about it, now Wizards has to do something about it.
Yeah, it seemed like
even then this article was kind of like a wink. It was like, hey, we know you're using proxies. Don't wink. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's how it was. It was written very almost tongue-in-cheeky like that.
Because it uses the term DCI sanction. But they're like, but we understand that you don't want to spend all this money on a deck you don't want to use. So we understand. But for DCI sanctioned, wink.
Yeah, so no real change there. I mean, they have to realize, like, in casual play, like, you can't really enforce anything. It's going to be so much effort into nothing, really. So, yeah, there's no point really fighting proxies.
Don't come to opens or GPs with them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just don't be dumb, guys. That's pretty much the whole press release there. But, I mean, it is interesting to see them actually have to say something about it. And like Jerry said, a lot of people were reaching out to them about it and questioning them about it, so it forced their hand. I mean, they had to release something, but no real changes here.
One thing I liked about the statement was at the very bottom of the opening paragraph, they actually put, and people think we're trying to kill Legacy, parentheses, we're not. So they kind of addressed it right there.
That's debatable.
Right.
All right. But yeah, so then let's see. So going down here too, we had Gabby Spartz. I didn't see anything about this either. I'm slacking this week. She joined coverage.
Who is Gabby Spartz?
She's a streamer. She's done coverage before for like Vintage Super League and like Standard Super League and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I forget what her she's on Twitch quite a bit. I forget what handle she uses on there, but when I first saw her, she was playing some not necessarily all the latest and greatest alternate formats as well. But I think here lately she started playing Standard and Modern more.
Oh, okay. Nice. I mean, like always, we all tuned in a little bit to the last open, and since Patrick Selly has left, it's taken a hit. I mean, we don't have the wonder duo of Cedric and Patrick anymore, so it's... Oh,
well,
wait,
this is for
Wizards.
Grand Prix.
Yeah,
this
she's on Grand
Star City.
What was her Twitch handle? Elantris, I think it was.
Yeah, I think it's Elantris, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's cool seeing them bring in new coverage people. I've never really liked Wizards coverage, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, it's always been kind of subpar compared to what Star City was able to produce
in the past. Yeah,
I don't know, man. Yeah. Marshall Sutcliffe has a voice that I really like.
I do. Yeah, I do like Sutcliffe. Yeah, I mean, and he has some good insights, especially on the limited stuff. But overall, it's been kind of subpar. But I mean, hey, like I can never be too upset if people are trying to shake it up and trying to do new things. So at least they're showing they're trying. So we'll see what comes of that. That'll be interesting. Will she be doing coverage for the Pro Tour? Do you know? Do we know?
It's not the Pro Tour. I think it's Grand Prix Oakland, I think, is her first one.
Gotcha. Yep, and then so now going down the list here, we also, I think we're all just excited to talk about Modern, so yes, we'll jam right through these. We did have, they had an announcement about 10 of the 12 judges that were banned during the leaks, during the spoiler leaks for the last set have been reinstated. They also said that they would have no repercussions on further judge evaluations, things like that. It's good to see that they've kind of backpedaled on this a little bit. I think the community pretty much agreed unanimously that they were a little bit heavy-handed in the bannings and how they attacked the judges. There's a lot of people that weren't really involved that got hit with bans.
Well, they came back and reinstated them after further investigation, that those of plausible deniability.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's because they appealed to the banning.
Yeah, and after all the information was really put on the table, it was, how am I to know the difference between a wizard-induced leak or someone showing me proprietary information?
Yeah.
Right, which Wizards has now come out and said, too, that they're going to post when spoiler season starts for them.
Yeah,
and it's going to be like an event.
And
like
they will not leak. The
Pro Tour will start a spoiler season or whatever.
Yeah, and that Wizards themselves will not leak information for hype. They said that's not their plan. They're not going to do it. So if you're seeing stuff that you think you shouldn't be seeing, they want you to report it, is what they're saying.
Yeah, because that was the original problem with these the guys that did get reinstated, is they saw it under, they didn't know what they were seeing. It just happened to be on, like, hey, look, it's under my messages. What am I looking at here?
Okay. Yeah, it seemed to be very private. Like, you know, I'm sending it to Jerry just based on the article that came out.
Yeah. Nah, so good on Wizards. I mean, I know that they appealed, and I know that there was some further investigations, but you know, some of that had to be influenced by a mini outrage that kind of occurred during this. No one wants to see innocent people getting banned, and no one wants to see people, like, it's a shame what happened to Wizards. I know that took a lot of wind out of their sails, but it's going to happen from time to time. Maybe this just means they need to clean up their own procedures and how they handle things internally, and it sounds like they're doing that. So yeah, it's a win overall for the community. It's cool to see this happen. So good on them. Good on them. Going down here too, we did our contest for the ban and reserve list, and I don't know if this is good or bad. We'll call it good. We'll frame it as something good. A five-way tie. If you listened last week and if you compared it to the ban list, you'll notice that, yeah, like, we each had one. No one said Summer Bloom and Splinter Twin on their list, so we all got 1 point for one or the other, whichever one we put on our lists. And, yeah, so, I mean, we hadn't come up with a punishment yet, so I guess now we don't need to worry about doing that since it was across the board. You know, speaking of the ban list, too, I mean, we'll get into the real depth of it here in a little bit, but for anyone who hasn't seen yet, Splinter Twin and Summer Bloom both got the ban hammer. It was a little bit surprising. It was also kind of an interesting situation where it was supposed to come out Monday, and they had some people on Twitter were posting that on Magic Online, they had actually already banned the cards.
Yeah, it was in the beta.
Okay, the
2016 beta client, they were posting that both of them were not modern legal.
Yeah, so all of a sudden people went to play and the decks were, you know, illegal decks and they couldn't play them because they contained banned cards. And then that leaked out on a Twitter. And then I guess Wizards just said, well, I guess, you know, the cat's out of the bag. So they went ahead and just released the official announcement.
Back-to-back leaks, woo!
Yeah, I mean, well, we...
Well, there's actually another leak that I forgot to put in the show notes that it was on Reddit. They're saying that during this Pro Tour, they're going to announce the summer set is going to be Eternal Masters for, like, a Legacy Masters.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, they're saying, like, Wasteland, Force of Will, and Rishad and Port are all going to be in it.
Hey, maybe I'll get this my still Earthcraft hearsay, unbanned.
But, yeah.
Huh. All right, so we'll see what happens with that. That's kind of interesting. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Eternal Masters, yeah. So, I mean, that pretty much opens the door for Legacy reprints real well. So that'll be interesting. I mean, there's quite a few things that are on the reserve list that could be reprinted, so get on them. That'll be cool. We'll have to see what comes of that. But back to sort of the banned and restricted list, it worked out super well for us. We always record on Sunday mornings. Usually the banned list wouldn't go up until Monday, so this is a win for us.
Yeah.
Going down here too, we also wanted to give a shout out to Adam Duncan. He's an avid listener. He's given us tons of good feedback, especially sort of during the early days. He had a birthday yesterday, so well, it'll be a few days ago once this goes up. But happy belated birthday to Adam, man. Thanks for all the help so far with the cast. Always look forward to getting emails and hints and tips from you. You and Austin both. Austin's a buddy of his, so good hearing from you guys. Thanks a lot for that. Really, this just about does it for news for us. I mean, we're coming in right at 10 minutes, which is pretty short for our news segment, but we have tons to talk about for modern. Is there anything else you guys wanted to get into that's non-modern related before we get into this?
No, because, I mean, we're going to open up with our thoughts on the ban-restricted list, and then we're going to move into...
Well, also, don't forget, someone was banned in Popper. Can't forget old Cloud of Fairies banned in Popper.
Oh, that's right, for our Popper players out there.
And that is a huge banning, too.
Jerry, you want
to... Yeah, that was an oppressive deck for sure.
Absolutely. Cloud of Fairies was extremely oppressive in any blue-based deck, specifically the blue Delver list and any Grixis list that was running Carolands, because you could generate...
Well, also the familiar list, the one that makes blue spells cost one less, so you're netting mana off of it, too.
Yep, it continues it to... The Cloud of Fairies essentially made net mana at such unreasonable speeds that it shouldn't be able to do. And it's good that it's banned. It slows that down. Honestly, it should have gone with the Storm cards when the Storm cards got banned.
Yeah, so for our Popper player that listens...
Oops.
I'm sure he's dying to hear about that. No, I'm just giving you guys a hard time. Anything else non-modern related? Because I know once we open that door, that's all we're going to be talking about. Anything else?
No.
Forever hold your peace until next week.
Chris...
I'm good.
All right. All right, guys. So let's do this then. I was going to stop for a break, but we're only 10 minutes in, so let's just keep on going. So again, if you haven't heard the news, Splinter Twin and Summer Bloom are both now banned in the modern format. These appeared on all of our lists, one or the other. I think a few of us said Splinter Twin, and while we're all pretty much agreeing right now that a few of us said Splinter Twin, we're all shocked that it happened.
Yeah. I mean,
did we really think this was going to be a banned card?
I did not at all, and I'm the Twin player. Like, right. I'm completely blindsided.
Even never playing Twin, it's just Splinter Twin has seemed to be one of the staples of Modern. Like, whenever you think of Modern, you think Twin, Snapcaster Mage. The card's pretty much in the Twin deck in that. And it's kind of like Force of Will and Legacy and that. But actually seeing them ban it after it being reprinted again? Because it was in Modern Masters 15, right?
Or was it?
Yeah,
just
it was.
It was, yep. In 2015.
Yeah, right. So...
Yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
Coming off that reprint, yeah, it was... You know, you could expect it at every Modern event, just about you need to have a matchup for Twin. And for them to actually ban it, I was shocked. Yeah. I didn't believe the spoiler of the leak at first.
Yeah, like, I think Twin was, like, it was the police of the format. It was the deck that was, like, hey, you better be able to interact. Like, you can't play Solitaire and Modern. You have to interact. In other words, Twin's just going to kill you.
Yeah.
It was really fair. Really sitting back and looking at it, it was the turn four. I don't think it was overpowered. It was kind of tempo. And as much as I hated playing it, because, I mean, me... playing against it, I could figure I was going to play it at least twice in, you know, four rounds or maybe six, but at least twice. Really looking at it, it met all the criteria, you know, not sooner than turn four. It was a fair deck. It wasn't really breaking the rules, in my opinion. It was a huge shock to me that they actually did. Because when I said ban Twin, I said it because I play linear, you know, Solitaire decks. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the consensus. I mean, before we get too much into how it warps the format or what this is going to do to the format, first, sorry, Austin. We just recently sent Austin a copy of Splinter Twin. It's been popping up in Legacy. I mean, maybe you got something
there.
Sure,
if you want to try it. I mean,
sorry about that. I mean, I guess you can... I don't know.
I guess in Legacy, you only have to play two because you're a Brainstorm Ponder format.
Yeah, so there's the silver lining, I guess.
Maybe they'll unban it in 4 years.
But really what I wanted to get into here, though, and I think we're kind of touching on it already, is just that this sets a really dangerous precedent for bannings. I mean, we already mentioned that it was reprinted in Modern Masters 2015. That is a set designed to put more copies of cards into Modern. I mean, it's specifically for Modern. It's in the name, for crying out loud. So for a card that's on that list to get banned seems shaky at best. I mean...
It really makes you wonder, what's the next really big deck that's going to get banned?
It seems whatever
does
good.
It'll be this time next year. Like... The way it's worked is, so basically what happened was Wizards didn't want to put Modern in the Pro Tour, but the fans wanted it because we love Modern, we love watching it, we want to see what the pros think of Modern. And then, so they did, so they banned Pod, which Pod was oppressive, it met the criteria to be banned, but they banned it this time last year right before the Pro Tour. So then this time this year, right before the Pro Tour, they banned Twin, arguably one of the better decks in the format.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like a self-imposed, like it's making it a rotating format to a degree where, yeah.
Yeah, it's like an artificial rotation, yeah.
Yeah, before the Pro Tour, we just knock out the best deck and then see what the players come up with. And I mean, for the sake of innovation for the Pro Tour, I understand that, yes, this will shake it up, and yes, we'll probably see some very interesting decks at the Pro Tour, but it does start to make you wonder at what cost. Because, I mean, there's got to be someone who played Birthing Pod, who then it got banned, so they picked up Splinter Twin, and now, like, do we really expect that player to build another Modern deck? I mean, they really must love the format at this point if they're going to stick with it, because that's just, I mean, that's painful. And, yeah, it's just, it's, no matter how oppressive a deck is, no matter how impressive a deck is, like, something is always going to float to the top. I don't think we exist in a world where they're going to be able to balance it to the point to where we have all these decks and they're all rock, paper, scissory, and there's all these options you can play it without something being a standout best deck.
And that's fine and all, but even then, Splinter Twin wasn't the most oppressive thing. It didn't fall into that criteria. It was played a lot. And for reason, because it was one of the more affordable, it was more affordable than, say, purchasing cards for Jund. I feel like,
and it was the best blue deck, so the blue players went to Twin.
I mean, sure, yeah, it obviously is the best blue deck, but at the same time, if you wanted, you know, someone wanted to go, say, they wanted to go to Jund and they just couldn't afford it, Twin was a cheaper option. It really was, and it only encompassed up to 13% of the winners at its peak. So it's not like it was the be-all, end-all, you must play this deck to win a Modern tournament.
Yeah, cheaper. Like at its steadiness, it held 11, according to like MTG Goldfish and MTG Top 8 and all those that kind of, you know, look at the tournaments and see how much of a meta it is. It was like 11%, like 1/10. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all.
That's kind of what I was getting at, is I feel like you're always going to have something that sticks out at the top. And for Twin, it really, like, yes, it stuck out at the top, but it was pretty fair overall just in terms of what it did to the meta. And, I mean, obviously the best deck is always going to warp the meta in some way. It's always going to shove something out of the format, but I think we actually had it kind of nice with Twin just in that it wasn't doing a horrible job at that. We've been seeing more and more diversity in Modern over the last year after Birthing Pod went out, so that was a win, but I don't know if we need to keep doing this. This is getting a little absurd.
I mean, is Affinity next on the chopping block? Because it was the next most winning deck. Are we really going to lose Cranial Plating next? Because that's what seems to be the pattern.
I called for this ban, but that's me.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to depend on what happens next. I mean, the Pro Tour is going to be interesting. We will see some interesting shakeups for the next 6 months or so, but it does make you feel like whatever is the top dog this time next year will be a likely candidate for getting knocked out.
But like, that's a fear that shouldn't be there. Like,
right.
I don't want to, every January, I don't want to worry about the best deck getting banned, because then, like, especially if they don't unban anything, in 5 years, there's not going to be a best deck in Modern. It's going to be a bunch of crap decks.
Right. It's going to be a deconstructed format.
It's going to look like Standard.
Yeah, I mean, it's Modern, one of the biggest draws to Modern for players is to escape the rotation of Standard. So now we have a situation where, sure, you've escaped rotation, but you're kind of pushed towards playing fringe decks and tier 2 decks just because of fear of the banhammer. And, I mean, we're not even talking about Summer Bloom, and I think the writing was on the wall for Summer Bloom, but it's still crazy that we saw two major decks take a big hit. I mean,
like, not a big hit, like obliterated, like can't be played the same way.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, these decks pretty much got crippled pretty significantly, each of them. So we saw two big decks. I mean, that's a pretty good amount of players out there that are left to kind of figure out what they're doing now. And I mean, I think with Summer Bloom, like I said, the writing was on the wall. People saw it coming. I think most of us knew that if you weren't actively playing it, you should probably move those cards. I mean, the talk's been going on for a while. So that one is fine. I understand. Splinter Twin, there was never that period. There are a lot of people who probably lost hundreds of dollars in their collection. I mean, I haven't taken a look at the prices yet, but I'm sure Splinter Twin's dropping like a rock. I'm sure Scalding Tarns are going to take a hit. I'm sure Snapcaster Mages are going to take a hit. I mean, there's a bunch of cards that are going to lose some value to them because of this banning. And we talked about it already, but it came out of left field. I mean, I don't think anyone seriously thought this was going to happen. So that's a big issue. I mean, when things get banned that seem like they're going to get banned, it hurts, but again, you see it coming, you can prepare for it, it doesn't hurt you quite as hard. But when things happen like this almost suddenly, it really shakes up the format in a negative way. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't blame players right now. Like, if we met players right now who said they want to get into Modern, but they're too scared to because of bannings, I couldn't fault them for that. I wouldn't have a counter argument.
Yeah, you should be looking at it almost as an investment.
Yeah,
when absolutely. When you say, I'm going to sit down and play Modern and Legacy, and right now, if you know I was an investment advisor, I'd be like, well, just don't pick the best deck, because probably this time next year, it's going
to
be gone.
Some good fringe playables that have only been played, you know, printed in one format. That's the way to go now, I guess. I mean,
well,
that's
one of the big draws to Modern is, like, it fit that sweet spot of Legacy was too expensive. Like, yes, Modern is more expensive than Standard, but it holds its price for the most part, and it doesn't rotate like Standard. It's that sweet middle spot that players wanted.
Yeah.
And now they're forcing artificial rotation.
Yeah, it's gotten very heavy-handed. I mean, I really hope that we see Wizards. I don't want to see another ban for another 2 years. I mean, that's maybe unreasonable, and we'll have to see what happens to the format, but I think that they've just crossed a line where they need to now back up, let the format hold steady for a while now, because if you keep this up, I mean, you're going to lose players. And it's a shame, because Modern is breaking records for Opens and GPs. Modern is, it's the premier format right now. And I understand that they want to keep that going and they want to promote it, but I think this might have been the wrong way to do it.
Just
especially if you're trying to, like, promote a format moving forward. Why would you ban 13% of that?
But yeah, and that's not even including Bloom. I mean, Bloom probably was, 5-6% at least?
Yeah.
So we're getting close to 20% now?
Yep. But I just looked at some card prices real quick here. You can get Splinter Twin for $5 now.
Oh, jeez.
And Scalding Tarn has already dropped down to $82. And it was over 100, just a week ago?
Yesterday.
Yeah, okay, so, yeah.
Well, pre-banning, yeah. Right. 2-3 days ago, it was about a $100 card.
And now you can pick it up.
I'm actually most worried about Snapcaster, because there's not a backup Snapcaster deck right now.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, and that.
Yeah, Snap's going to take. See if you can pull up a price for Snap.
Yeah,
Rob.
Sure thing. That's not good.
Like I said, I mean, all the staples in Splinter Twin, because people are flooding the market. They're going to stabilize and they'll probably come up a little bit, but that's a huge chunk of the meta that doesn't need those cards anymore. And I mean, a lot of people are going to hold on to them to maybe move to other, like, Blue Moon or some of the other blue red based decks, but. What's Snap at?
See, as the Twin player, I'm actually going to hold Splinter Twin, because I think I'm hoping Wizards will see the error of their ways and it'll be unbanned next year.
Yeah, moving them right now is a horrible idea. Well, the damage is already done.
Can't the list come back in April?
Yeah, there's another ban restricted list coming out in April.
Well, it's like every quarter, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it doesn't take a year. Like,
it's going to be at least 6 months.
I hate playing that deck.
And you want it back.
I want it back.
It's not going to be April, just because if they've already done the damage, they're going to let it play out. It'll probably be a year just because.
Mud's on my face. I'm going to let it stay there.
Yeah. I mean,
like I said, I'm going to hold my Twins, wait till this time next year, and hope I get to play Twin again.
Yeah, I wouldn't move any of these cards right now. Did you get a price for Snap, Rob?
Yeah, Snapcaster Mage. Again, this is TCG player front page. All lightly played in one near mint, $55 to $60.
So that's about where it was. I mean, it's taking a slight hit, but not. Not as bad as Scalding Tarn, and I mean, obviously, Splinter Twin, that's going to happen. Honestly, if you're thinking about it might be a good time to pick up a playset of Twin if you don't have it, just to stash away. I mean, who knows what could happen in the future? Maybe it never comes back, but, you know, if it gets down to $3-4, yeah, why not? But yeah,
I think it will come back, but that's me. That's the Twin player having hope, but...
I mean, if enough players shout into a vacuum, someone's going to do something. It has happened before where enough players say something, something's overpowered, something's underpowered, needs to come off the list or something like that. It has happened. Sometimes Wizards will hold back, like, obviously with Stoneforge. Like, we all thought it was going to get unbanned. We feel very trolled here.
It makes sense with, like we talked about.
I mean, it still could enable.
Culligan's Command, you know, it seems very viable. Or, yeah, maybe they're doing like Alex says. Maybe they're out there teasing us with the carrot and a stick, you know. Just, oh, you're not going to get it now, but April. Oh.
Now, I will say that when you look at ban lists in the past, you usually don't see any modern shakeups except for the one right before the Pro Tour. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's as much as they want to say it's for the format or they're doing this or that or whatever. A lot of it is to shake up the Pro Tour and to get new innovation. So I really don't see anything changing until a year from now. What changes at that point, who knows? But
we've got a long year to wait until then, and I'm sure they'll have something else in their targets for bannings by then, but I don't see anything changing for a year. Yeah, it's just, man, it's going out to Reddit and looking at different communities online and even the local communities. I know some of you guys said you had some interactions with players about this, and it's just so overly negative. And I mean, I think we have a lot of people. I played Twin very briefly. I always wanted to play other blue control decks, and I was always told you got to play Splinter Twins, the best one. So you would think that I would be happy about this, and even I'm just like, nah, it doesn't feel right at all. Chris already admitted, you know, as much as he hates playing against it, he's sad to see it go. And it seems like that's kind of consensus. I haven't seen anyone celebrate.
It met the criteria. It waited to combo till at least turn four.
It was almost like it was the model for what modern should be.
Absolutely, yeah.
This is our format model. Yeah, it looks a lot like Spinner Twin, but ignore that. We're going to ban that anyway.
This is our favorite child, but we got to kick him out. He's going to boarding school.
I mean, it was there from the very beginning. From the inception of Modern, Splinter Twin was legal, and it didn't get banned then, you know?
I think that's the scariest part about it, is that most of the things that we use to check if a card is safe in Modern, Splinter Twin met all of those criteria, yet it just got banned. I mean, like Chris said, it waited till turn four. It was the quintessential turn four combo deck in Modern. It's been there since the inception. It's always floated around near the top tables, even when it wasn't the best deck. It's always had a strong presence. Yet, there it goes. It was reprinted in Modern Masters 2015. Like that, that's the one thing that, I know we've already said it, but that's the one thing that really gets to me, is just that, how are you going to print a card in a supplemental product specifically for one format and then ban it in that format?
And, you know, it even shows that they're the biggest hypocrites as far as bannings are going. Grishol Brand is still a legal deck. It can go off turn two consistently. Why is this still legal?
Yeah, it just shows the inconsistencies. I mean, it's really they want to shake things up. And I know a lot of people have already posted this online, and there's some merit to it. I don't know if I go this deep into the conspiracy theory side of it, but there also seems to be a push of, this is going to bring in Eldrazi as a big deck, both in Tron and the Eldrazi deck, and they have printed a lot of Eldrazi recently.
The old product scandal.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, that's how Wizards makes money off of it. I don't want to say that I think this is happening, because it's a little bit too, like, the truth is out there for my taste, it's an odd coincidence at best. You know what I mean? So it's...
Well, like, I think it'd be more reasonable to say they just wanted viewers for the Pro Tour. Like, because now people are like, all these Twin players are like, crap, what am I going to play? Oh, I'll check out the Pro Tour, see what they do, and see where I can go.
You've started Eldrazi Gate. It's going down.
Yeah. Eldrazi Gate.
But the thing is, though, if they do bring it back then after the Pro Tour, it's just going to, I think it's going to leave even worse taste in people's mouths.
That's the sad part.
Yeah. Like, oh, you just banned it for like 6 months, then you're going to bring it back. How often are you going to keep doing this?
Yeah, how many times have we played this game, Wizards? Yeah, I think there's a part of me that believes that they're not going to unban Splinter Twin for a while, just because it's sort of that... If you
gotta stick to your guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Once you back up, then all of a sudden now, as random as it seems now, it gets even worse. I mean, then it's just the wild
world. Well, as far as any other business model goes, the customers are always right. And the consensus, at least from the competitive Magic thought, is this was wrong.
Well, who else is buying into Modern, though, Chris? Casual cats aren't buying into it. That's a lot of money you're putting out. It's nothing but competitive folks when it comes to this ban list.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you need to appease it, because what happens? Well, you ban my last two decks, we'll even say. So now, one, I'm not buying anything else. Two, I'm not going to the events, because now I don't have decks, because every year they get banned. Like, the second and third hand effects, just thinking from a business model, like, I don't know. I think it was just overall bad.
It was heavy-handed, yeah.
You know, I'm going to sell you a TV, and it's going to break, but then I'm not going to back the warranty behind it.
Well, it's more like, I'm going to sell you this TV, and then disconnect your favorite channel.
Yeah.
You can still watch other channels.
Verizon did that to me. That's a sore subject.
Yeah, we don't want to go into that hour later.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, I think that, one thing I do have to say right now, playing devil's advocate, is that, and for listeners too, I think all of us need to go, okay, look, this happened. Let's give it a few months and see what happens. As I don't think it's what's going to happen, but maybe we're going to have a beautiful, flourishing, modern metagame in a few months, and we'll go, you know what, Wizards is right.
Yes, it's going to be, you're either going to play Burn, Affinity, Tron or Eldrazi control.
But like I said, give it some time. Let's see what comes out of it. It's already happened, so we might as well look to see. And this would be a fun thought experiment to see what happens to the format. I mean, I this isn't my official guess. I'm not going on the record saying I think it's going to be a great format, but it's possible. I mean, the bad things already happened, so let's see if a good thing happens afterwards, I guess.
I definitely want to talk about where we think the modern format is going to go in like the second segment. But yeah. For this one, too, I want to talk about Aaron Forsyth is one of the R&D guys who works at Wizards. And on Twitter, people were tweeting him, hey, why did this ban happen? And he even said he deleted it now. But on there, he was saying, you guys wanted Modern at the Pro Tour. This is what you have to live with to have that. Like, we still have to run a business. We want viewers for our Pro Tour.
See, and I just... I mean,
so like when it comes down to that, man, like I don't want Modern at the Pro Tour if my deck's gonna get banned. Like, that's fine.
Well,
like,
also,
I would rather have a stable format than a format that could change every year for one tournament.
But that statement doesn't even make a lot of sense in itself, though, because if people are demanding the format be shown at the Pro Tour and they're okay with what the format is, that doesn't mean you have to change things. Like, it's sort of this weird argument of like if people liked it the way it was, which seems to be the case, and they're upset about the bans, but they wanted Modern, then that seems like you would have had plenty of viewers for Modern even without the bannings. We've had record numbers of people showing up at tournaments for Modern. Modern is seeing a huge upswing despite Splinter Twin being, you know, all over the meta. It seems like it was doing healthy and fine. That sounds like bullshit to me, to be completely honest.
And I agree. I agree 100%. Like, I don't think it's right. I think it's heavy-handed. But, like even for, like, viewership, they're like, Twin mirrors are actually interesting to watch because there's a lot of skill in that.
Better, who's the better control player? Who has the better cards in hand?
When people are demanding cat and mouse. Like, it's like if I'm like, yeah, I want to watch the World Cup in soccer. Okay, well, you want to watch it, or we're going to have to ban goalies. Why? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, that's part of what I wanted to watch. I don't understand how that argument makes any sense at all.
We're going to ban Brazilians.
Well, there goes all the good players, I guess.
And, we were talking about, Eldrazi Gate. Just release Modern Masters a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there's other options.
The product sold quite well.
The one interesting takeaway from that, though, is that he is part of the R&D crew, and it sounds like he has some very heavy salt about this whole situation. So it's interesting to see that R&D is sort of split on this. I will say that that's a good takeaway from his statement. I am sick of this game of I tweet my opinion and then I have to delete it. Like, it's getting ridiculous. Yeah. Let your employees say what they want to play.
Yeah, because it's Aaron Forsyth. It's not Aaron Forsyth of MTG at
Twitter handle. He is a representative, and I understand that. But, like, I think it's better for the community to be able to air these things out and discuss them and not have to hide behind them. Like, I think that it's interesting to see again that R&D is sort of split on this decision, and I don't know what that means, but it seems like there's at least some probably long nights of discussions about this. So at least we can come away from it knowing that this wasn't like a, let's just hit the off switch kind of decision. So that makes me feel a little bit better, even if it's from such a ridiculous comment, but what are you going to do? Any other thoughts about just the controversy side of this? Because, yeah, once we take a break, we come back, we're going to be talking about sort of what we think the meta is going to look like. Just some brave discussion about what the world without Splinter Twin looks like.
All I know is I think I'm going to start picking up pieces for it while they're low, because I'm hoping in a year it'll come back.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see some blue and red staples at, probably criminally low prices. I mean, so keep an eye on those prices. If Snapcasters and Tarns drop too low, this might be a great time to buy them. Even if Splinter Twin doesn't get unbanned, there's still plenty of good blue-red strategies in the format.
And you don't know what's going to come out from the spanning of the new blue-red strategy, because people are already thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, while half the world laments, the other half is definitely on the grindstone figuring out what deck to be playing, especially all the Pro Tour guys. So it'll be interesting to see what comes from that.
I suggest they play Loam, because it's 0% of the meta, so it'll probably never get banned. if they don't like that, try Blue Red Storm.
We have a running joke among all of us about MTG bottom eight. Like, we'll use it for burns and stuff, but like, that might be the new legit place to find your deck lists if you want to be safe.
Like, I honestly feel bad for Alex. That's a lot of money in a deck.
Yeah, man, sorry, Alex.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, which is why I always brew. Like, I'm always like, what deck would I play if I wasn't playing Twin? Because, yeah, it is like a majority of the format. Like, I kind of saw it coming, but I didn't see it coming at the same time. Like,
yeah, the double banning was completely insane. I think it's completely unprecedented. It's man.
There was definitely other cards in that deck that you could have banned that made it more susceptible to interruption, and the deck still exists.
Yeah. Right, like I think Deceiver would have been the better ban out of Twin because then it makes you run Pestermite, which is boltable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you could have crippled the deck and not killed it. Or you could have gone to white. There is a 1/4 in white that does the same thing as Deceiver, but it doesn't tap a permanent. It only taps untaps creatures, so they get to leave their land up for interaction.
Now and they went Twin full going Holly to Holmes color, into Ronda Rousey on this.
K.O.
You know, broke its jaw. It's laying on the ground. Coach is saying good round. You know, like
Wizards are saying good round.
Yeah,
we did good, guys. We got it.
It was. I hate playing against the deck. I would love. Well, I'm gonna love picking up pieces for it, but it didn't need to be banned.
Yeah, I think that's. This is a good place to wrap up this segment. I think that we all kind of feel the same way. That this feels very heavy handed. This feels very out of left field. Very unprecedented. I mean, just lots of negative things attached to this, and it's hard to see the silver lining for it. I mean. The possible good meta is all we got, and even that's not a guarantee at all. That's more of a looking on the bright side kind of thing. So we'll see what happens with this, but we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be discussing what the modern meta will look like after this. All right, guys. See you
soon. Snap.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We just got done taking a quick break. We got a snowstorm going on out here. It's a Virginia snowstorm, so it's not that heavy, but it's making for some
nice... I got sunshine, haha.
Yeah, good for you. all right, so coming back into Modern now, we've kind of aired our grievances with Wizards and the ban list. So now that we've settled that, let's look forward to see what we expect to happen. There's going to be a lot of shakeups. I mean, some decks are going to get better. Some decks are going to get worse. Before we go too deep on anything, I'm putting a huge asterisk on this that these are educated guesses. I feel pretty good about what we've talked about. I feel pretty confident. But then again, I mean, Modern is a huge and deep format. So what really ends up coming to fruition could be far different than what we expect. So with that in mind, let's fire this thing off. Anybody got any big, spicy, what do you think's going to happen?
I'm an optimist when something like this happens. I know that I said Splinter's going to get banned in my suggestions. I really didn't want it to, but it was a thought that had come to my mind. And I'm an optimist. I think the format is still big enough that many decks will come out of it. But clearly right now there is a clear consensus that I think the Eldrazi mid-range deck is the best deck in the format right now as it stands to default.
I think it's a toss-up between Eldrazi, Tron, and Infect in kind of like the rock, paper, scissors. Like, Tron is just going to beat out every other mid-range. Eldrazi beats Tron as well as other mid-range, and Infect beats both of them. So it's kind of one of those, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. What do you guys think about, like, the Jund Junk matchup versus this new Eldrazi deck?
Oh, it's freaking awful.
It's atrocious.
For Jund?
It's awful for Jund. Jund's cards have nothing. Abrupt Decay does nothing to these decks.
Abrupt Decay is not going to get played anymore. Yeah, there's no reason to. It's for Twin.
And the problem is, what takes over for Abrupt Decay now? Like, that card was so good, and now we have to supplement ourselves to something that's worse?
I mean, it might actually honestly have to be Dreadbore to help with Karn and Ugin and things.
Ooh, yeah. Ugh.
See,
I mean, it's not good, but you may have to.
We might have to go to that. I mean, is Culligan's Command still good? That's what I want to know. I mean, I feel like it still is with Fulminator Mage, but beyond that,
Affinity's
going
to uptick, so I think it's great with that.
Okay, yeah. Hyper Aggro. I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, because the other option you have, then, too, is it shifting to Junk for Path to Exile. I mean, that's pretty good against these Eldrazi decks, but...
Well, it's not even really good against Eldrazi, because they get their effects on cast. Like, they don't care if it dies afterwards. They already get effects.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've played Piloting Scapeshift. I had to play against the new Ulamog card, and, you know, on cast, it exiles two things, and that was pretty backbreaking. I mean, that was a hard one to come back from. So, seeing that as a brief snapshot before the banning, we're definitely going to see a huge uptick in that. So, I mean, we've got this new, it's mostly a black Eldrazi deck that's floating around, right?
It's primarily mono black.
Yeah, there's a white version with Lingering Souls and Path as well, because Path fuels all the processing.
But there's even a cute blue-black list that's been floating around with the counterspell delay from Future Sight, where you counter the spell. If it's countered this way, it's exiled, and you stick three time counters on it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're going to see that Eldrazi list shake out. It was already beginning to happen before the banning, and this just makes all the more reason. I mean, the deck got a huge boost from this. Twin was a problem.
Well, it got a huge boost from Oath. Because, right. So originally, Eldrazi Temple was made so that way they could, you know, cast your big fat Eldrazis, add extra mana to it. But then in Oath, they printed like 4 mana Eldrazi that you can turn to. You could turn to a Thoughtseer in Modern, and that's insane.
Yeah, so, I mean, between the cards printed that are going to boost it and now this banning, that deck's going to be very, very real. I think that's probably going to be the biggest breakout deck. I mean, it's hard to call it a breakout because it's already floating around so much, but we're going to see that a lot at the Pro Tour, I think. And then, like you said, I mean, Infect becomes an instant uptick there because it combats these strategies so well. So I'm sure we're going to be seeing a lot of that at the Pro Tour as well.
I mean, to some extent it does, but how good is Apostle's Blessing against a bunch of colorless creatures?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying it's more for Tron, because Tron is also going to uptick as the best fair deck, and Tron just loses to Infect.
Yeah, I know Rob was pretty happy about Tron upticking.
Yeah, every time I see Tron at an event, I get happy because I know it's a great matchup for me.
Yeah, and game one's pretty much, you know, unlosable for you.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this uptick so I can see how Infect is going to change. And then what I can do with Infect to change is with my color splashes. But
I think it'll just be going back to Distortion Strike for Unblockable. Yep. Is all it's going to be.
It might not even do that. There was a card that was printed in Oath that's 1 blue mana Devoid, target creature's Unblockable, draw card.
That
card.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I forgot about that one.
That is a super reasonable card that deck could play.
Yeah.
So now we've looked at these few, but how do you guys feel about Affinity?
Affinity's,
I mean, Affinity is always going to be good in the fact that it's probably the best aggro deck now besides Infect, which is more of a combo, but it's the best aggro deck, so it's going to punish Tron.
And it gets an uptick because now Bolt Snap Bolt is going to be a less common thing because Twin's out.
Nice, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so I mean, Affinity players, you guys get to stay the course. I mean, I wouldn't expect too many changes there. The one thing that I think is going to be real, real interesting to watch, though, is with Twin being out of the format, this opens up a lot of sideboard slots for a lot of decks.
Yeah, nobody's...
Oh, for sure.
People aren't Tron especially. Forced into different cards.
So, I mean, when you look at, like, Tron, I mean, yeah, like, Infect's going to give it a hard time, but it's also going to have a lot of room to play with now on the sideboard to shore up those Game 2 and Game 3s. I mean, because, yeah, Tron...
I think Tron runs, like, 7 cards for Twin in the sideboard or something ridiculous between, like, Boil, Choke, and Rending Valley.
So they just gained a lot of sideboard slots. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what that comes up to. I mean, probably more Pyroclasms, Anger of the Gods, things like that, those types of effects for Tron. I mean, we'll see what comes of it, but they've got a lot of room to work with now. And, I mean, that really, I think almost every deck in the format had at least 2 or 3 cards in the sideboard, mostly for Twin. So it'll be interesting to see now what these decks do with these other spots. I mean, mostly it's probably going to have to be to fight these Eldrazi decks, but that'll be interesting to watch too. I know we've got Boggles listed here for Chiodo here. He's going to be excited. How did the matchups change for Boggles? I mean, how did you said you hate playing against Twin. Was that a bad matchup for Boggles?
Yeah, because they're very tempo-y, so you figure turn 2, whatever you're trying to cast. If you're living the dream, you're trying to cast Daybreak Coronet. You know, they're going to counter it in some way. And then you're just stuck with, like, a 1-1 or a 2-2, depending on what cards you play. I mean, I probably had 4 to 6 cards in my sideboard at any given time for Twin. I think I only beat it, and Jerry was there one time I've ever taken the match from him.
Yeah, it's pretty much like it's almost 50. It was almost always 50-50. You roll the dice, whoever's on the play. I mean, if the Boggles player had the play, he had the opportunity to draw the turn 1, you know, Arbor, turn 2 enchantments, and let's go.
Yeah, so I mean, between Twin being out of the format now, and then also with if these Jund and Junk decks get less powerful and they back out of the format some, yeah, that's even better for you. I mean,
Jund is probably my worst hosing matchup. Or any green-black X deck that just plays Lily and ticks up. I mean, I've moved to a point that I mainboard three suppression fields just to try and slow it down.
Yeah.
If green-black X steps back, I mean, I'm literally playing solitaire. Can you deal with this? No, probably not.
Yeah.
I win.
And it's not just...
And like, yeah. I think, I feel that Wizards didn't look far enough ahead on this Twin Bane. Like, they looked at, oh, we're going to ban Twin. You know, these decks might get better, but they didn't think about what happens. All right, well, these decks get better. What decks get worse? What decks get better because of it? They didn't look like two or three moves ahead, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like we've said already, it is tough, so I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there because we really don't know what the repercussions of this are going to be. But I think that, I mean, we may see a lot more boggles present in the meta. The sideboard thing is definitely super interesting. We do have listed here 200 cards that got better. Blood Moon, that's going to be real interesting to see what happens with Blood Moon. Blue Moon is a deck that I've always really wanted to play, and I think now this might be a decent time for it. I mean, it's still going to have some rough matchups, but it'll be interesting to see how the meta shakes out. It might be a really good time for it.
And I think that's also a bad thing because the decks that are weak to Blood Moon got better. So more people are going to play Blood Moon in the main, which makes for more non-games, which is what you don't want in the format.
Which means potentially coming here in April, that could be something we see banned.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was something that should have been banned from the get-go. We don't want non-games of Magic on camera. It's just not fun to watch.
Right.
I think something's getting banned out of Eldrazi. Because, like, if you look at other formats like Legacy, they have Ancient Tomb and City of Traders. Like, two cards that are insane. If you've ever played with them, they mana ramp you so well.
So great.
But they have drawbacks. Like, yep. Ancient Tomb deals you two damage. City of Traders, you have to sack when you play a new land. Eldrazi has Eldrazi Temple and Ayavugan, which are those with no drawbacks whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're build around cards, but now the tools are all there. So that's not even really a punishment at all. Like, you'd be building around it anyway, so... Yeah, I mean, that deck's going to be real powerful, and it's going to be interesting to see how other decks kind of warp to deal with it and to see what type of effect it has, because it very well could have a greater impact on the format than Twin did in the first place.
Yeah, and
I think that's true, because Twin it set the format as turn four. Like, you have to win on turn four, you have to either combo faster than Twin or interact with Twin. Now it's shifted to, on turn three, can you beat a Karn out of Tron, or, you know, an Oblivion Sower or something big out of Eldrazi, like, you have to beat one fatty vice a combo now.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's not many decks at all that can deal with that. And I don't know if there's even a whole lot of cards accessible in the modern format that can help deal with that as well.
Like, that's what I'm afraid of. I think the format's going to get worse.
I mean, we might see an uptick in blue strategies just because of counterspells being as a way to answer these. But even then, Tron packs so many threats and Eldrazi packs so many threats that it's going to really wear at your resources.
And Eldrazi doesn't care about counterspells because they get their effects on cast once.
Right, yeah. They're still going to set you back anyway. And yeah, it's going to be tough out there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I think the biggest thing, too, though, is looking at like what three drops are going to see a huge uptick now. I mean, Twin really did. The biggest negative effect I would think Twin had on the format was it was very hard to justify running three drops because if you're in that Twin matchup, you're going to have a hard time casting them. They pretty much had to do something along the lines of bounce a land or some type of tempo to where you're not going to get beat out by, a Splinter Twin on the next turn and get punished for playing it. So I think we might see decks shift a little bit to where they can go a little bit later game. The format might slow down a little bit. I mean, I know Tron and Eldrazi are still going to be doing powerful things pretty quickly, but...
I think the opposite is true. I think the format's going to speed up in order to beat Tron and Eldrazi. Aggro decks are going to be on the rise. And I think, honestly, Modern went from a turn four format where you have to worry about Twin on turn four to turn three is now you get a tap out on turn three. Like, turn three is now the deciding turn in Modern.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to watch how these matchups play out because while I get the idea that a Karn is hard to deal with and some of these creatures they cast are hard to deal with, but we do have to remember that Twin just ended the game. Like, that was it. Lights out. So while these cards are hard to deal with, like, you can still deal with them. We can still construct decks in a way to where we have some type of answer. So I don't know. I mean, thinking about the card pool in my head, there's options, but it's really just going to come down to how can we construct decks to fight this? Like, how oppressive is that going to be on turn three? Obviously, it's scary. Like, I don't want to take away from that argument. I definitely agree. But I do think there's some time to sit back and look at, like, what can we do with deck construction to combat this?
I think the problem looking at it is when we look at Tron and we look at the mono black is the mono black, you have the one that when they cast it, doesn't even have to resolve, they get to exile two permanents.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah. And then for Tron, you have Eugene, who can tick down a couple numbers and essentially wipe your board.
Do people call Karn Eugene? Oh, Ugin. No, gotcha. Gotcha. I was like, what's he talking about right now?
And that's huge in the format right now. You know, people are playing cheap, efficient spells to the best, to where you have this big, powerful planeswalker that gets cast real easily because of these three lands out there versus something that ramps in a colorless fashion and still does something equally as strong that can maybe even combat, you know, the one of the stronger mid-range decks in the format now. Like, that, I think that's going to be highly oppressive, and I think that's why Twin had a good spot. Oh, you want to do this? That's cool. End of turn, do this. My turn, do that. I win.
Yeah.
That's what you get for being greedy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
now everybody gets to be greedy and nobody gets punished for it.
Because now that Twin's gone, I think there's going to be an uptick in specifically non-graveyard combos that were very hard to play in a world where Twin was happening. Now I don't have to fear death on turn four just like that. I can just go off and do what I want. You know, Boggles being one of those decks, Ad Nauseam being another, Ascendancy Eggs. Where we modify the list, Eggs, you know. You know, all these combo decks can now see more and more play when they were just very, very sketchy to play in a field full of Twin.
There was a faster, more efficient combo deck out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's gone. So wild.
Well, I think it was the fact that it was a combo deck with interaction. Yeah. So the decks are like devoted to the combo.
It forced you to be a good player. It caused interactions that changed the swing of the game. I don't know. I'm sad to see it, but I don't want to say, you know, I was looking at maybe Gorios. I was like, oh, Gorios will get better now. No, really don't, because Mono Black Eldrazi has a lot of graveyard hate.
And turn one Relic can possibly shut it off right then and there.
Yep.
Yeah, the presence of Relic. They run like 6 to 8 Relic effects, so even if you fight through one or two, like, you're still in a world of hurt.
Yeah, it's very inevitable.
Yeah, because they have Surgical Extraction too, main board, right?
Some lists. That's an up-in-the-air decision. Oh, okay. Like we said, the deck still is working in its fleshing out phase, but we've got a definite look at what we're seeing here.
Yeah, the deck's
there. Yeah, a lot of them run Surgical in the side because they run Ghost Quarter in the main for Tron matchups and things like that. They want to Ghost Quarter Surgical you off of that.
And, you know, Infect gets better against Tron, but have you played against Mono Black Eldrazi yet,
Ron? No, I still haven't played the Eldrazi matchup.
I don't see it being a great matchup against Infect.
No, there's a lot of hand disruption in there, which is not good for me one bit.
I feel like a turn two Wasteland Strangler just kind of ends your game too.
Yeah, it just puts a different bind on Infect. Like, I've played it in testing as the Mono Black Eldrazi because I was testing that deck for a while, and they just have to consciously use Dismembers and Wasteland Stranglers to try to kill creatures, but, you know, they can still, you know, have protection and things like that.
Yeah,
it's definitely going to shift the main board for it to be more creature protection with your Apostle's Blessings and your Vines of Vastwoods and that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that most of the decks, is there anything that just becomes unplayable right now? Any current decks? Other than Twin and
Living End becomes very hard to play right now.
Agreed.
In a world of Eldrazi Black, mainboard Grave Hate, Grishol Brand, kinda on that cusp.
Of times they can go off before Eldrazi can leave up mana with Relic. Like, they can have Relic and, you know, exile one card, but they still have to get a threat out like Wasteland Strangler or something, and then, you know, Gorios just goes for it.
Yeah, and that's true. It's true. It's not a completely dead in the water deck, but it is still there to think about. What else?
I think Gorios got better because Twin was an oppressive card to that deck because they just had to force the combo before turn three or four because they were dead. But now they can take their time more.
That, and then the Presence of Counterspell has definitely made it harder to go off. So without those two things, I mean, the Gorios was one that was kind of popping up in my head. I mean, it's instant speed, so you can play around Relic a little bit better. And, I mean, it's a fast deck at times, so it'll be interesting to see what happens to Gorios Vengeance, but I think there's some room to grow there for it. The other one that I was thinking of was Blue Red Storm takes a pretty hard hit. I mean, that's kind of a
not only was the deck already almost dead, it just became even deader.
Now the one
cheaper though,
sure.
Get your Tarns for a little bit.
The
cheaper.
One I've been showing a lot. I've been out asking Alex a lot of questions. I don't think Jerry's really answered me because this is probably one of my favorite cards printed so far. Jeskai Ascendancy, the one that runs Fate Stitcher, the new Jace Friends Prodigy,
the OG one.
And it runs one more like creature type. Some do, some don't. What do you think that does? Does that become better?
Yeah, it does, but you don't want to go onto the grave plan necessarily unless you can guarantee the turn two. And you don't have to be on the grave plan. You don't have to play Faithless Lootings and Fate Stitchers. You can play the full four Sylvan Caryatid, four Noble Hierarch, and four Birds of Paradise, and you still have your combo deck where you just loop into a grape shot for lethal.
The one I saw, I've seen the two, the Glittering Wish one with the Flesh and Blood outside the game.
That's the same list, same cards.
I've seen the one where it uses mainly Fate Stitcher and Jace, and they just wait. They wait till they can hard cast the Fate Stitcher if they have to. And then when they go off, it goes into the grave, and then someone tries to punish the grave. Or if they don't have anything to punish the grave, then they unearth the Fate Stitcher, and now they're off to the races.
Yeah, it's one of those where, like, you will have to see what shakes out of how much Eldrazi there is with Graveyard Hate, or if a deck pops up that hates out Eldrazi somehow, and things like that can't exist. It's one of those cat and mouse things we have to wait for.
Because I'm about to finish Elves, but I want to put that deck together, Jeskai Ascendancy. I think it's positioned real well. Maybe not as, definitely not a tier one deck, but just as far as hate goes, I don't think there's a ton out there for it right now.
See, like, I think Elves gets worse too because of the uptick of Tron, because they're going to main deck Pyroclasms again, so all they have to beat is aggro. And then things like that get worse.
Pyroclasm, I'm okay with, because there was a card that for some reason in Elves we weren't playing called Pendlehaven Elder, which we should have been, and it's a, I think it's a 1/1 tap, all 1/1 creatures get +1/+2. Like, we should have been playing that from the beginning, but if people start going main board Anger of Gods,
I
think it'll be Kozilek's Return first, especially in Tron, because then they can flash it back and really hurt you.
That one's really gonna hurt, and that forces you to where if they do something, you essentially have to go next turn because Tron's going to cast something. What is it? Bigger than Eldrazi spells, bigger than five? Is that when it triggers?
Seven.
Or seven? Which, yeah. I mean, you figure once they get Tron online, like, what do they cast that's not really bigger than seven?
Dropping bombs on you.
I don't know, but I also think Tron, at the point they get Tron online the next turn, you've got to have an answer. Otherwise, they're just running away with the game.
Yeah, once again, that's where I think the format's going to shift is you have to have land disruption now, because the two most powerful obvious decks are Eldrazi and Tron, and they're based off land.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a huge uptick in Ghost Quarters and what's the other one?
Crumble to Dust?
No, the other land.
Well, Crumble to Dust would be a better sideboard card, but you're talking Tech Edge?
Tech Edge, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we'll see an uptick of those out of the gate to be the answer to the obvious deck that's going to come in. One that I'm really interested to watch, because I have a personal interest in this deck, and as of this morning, Scapeshift, the card, was up to $50. So it looks like it was already kind of climbing because of Bring to Light, but it took a huge, about a $10 jump after this.
Well, I think that was because all the twin players bought it. So it kind of like jumped prices. It was getting bought out.
Most of the twin cards really do just go into that same deck. You're just adding green at this point.
Yeah, so that's one thing that I want to keep an eye on, just to see how that goes and how the meta shakes out. I mean, it's a pretty reliable combo deck, and yeah, I guess it is kind of in a weird way probably the closest thing to Splinter Twin that
combo
exists
control.
Now. Yep. Yeah, combo control kind of style deck. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
I think it takes a hit too, because Tron's going to run Crumble to Dust to beat Mirrors and Eldrazi, and Eldrazi has Ulamog to blow up lands and Ghost Quarter Surgical out of the sideboard.
Exactly, All the land hate is coming in already. So
exactly.
It's going to be a lot to play through, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, at this point, I think the best strategy for going forward from Modern is to just sort of make bookmarks on certain decks and just see how this meta shakes out. I mean, one that I want to keep an eye on is that Enchantress, the Enchantress deck that you had brewed up a while, you and Jerry brewed up a while ago that I was playing with. That's an interesting deck, and I mean, it's hard to say, but that might be a good way to go. If Eldrazi's trying to beat your face in, some Ghost Prisons might go a long way.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So, I mean, there's, again, I mean, for listeners, for anyone who's in Modern, who's getting into Modern, I mean, now is the time to sort of sit back and chill out. I mean,
I would say wait till the Pro Tour for sure.
Play what you want to play for fun.
Yes. Play a right fun now, deck. If you have the cards for something, don't invest in anything right now unless if something is, you know, absurdly low. Nothing comes to mind right now, though. I think everything's going to spike a little bit right now as people shift. For people like Chris who have Boggles built out, I think this might be a great time to just try to hit up a weekend tournament and see if you can spike it. I mean, the meta is going to be in disarray for a while, and decks have a hard time dealing with strategies like that, so this might be a time to shine for now. I mean, but as far as long-term goes, I think we're in for a period of about a month at least before we really know what the meta looks like. As far as I'm concerned, there are no Tier 1 decks right now just because that's how much of a state of flux we're in. You know what I mean? Like, it would be too hard to call anything when Tier 1 right now. The tiers are all kind of out the window. I mean, Jund and Junk are still going to be powerful strategies. They're still going to be lingering around. Infect, Affinity, things like that. They're still popping around. But until we see the full effect of this banning, we really don't know. And I mean, one thing that we haven't really talked about at all is the fact that Bloom Titan's gone.
Yeah, that...
I mean, that one was like, it didn't, nobody had sideboard cards for it because you just couldn't sideboard for it. There's no sideboard hoser besides Blood Moon, which you're running anyway.
Yeah.
So like, it didn't free up any sideboard slots or anything like that.
You just had to be a deck that just had a natural way to fight it.
Yeah. I know the biggest way I did it was just like Nature's Claim and that. Things said just blow up artifacts, but there's still multiple artifacts out there for it. So
that's true.
Didn't, just not freeing much
didn't
up.
Didn't Fulminator Mage kind of slow it down a little
bit? No, Fulminator Mage is turn three. Bloom was consistent on turn two.
Yep.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest spreaders to Bloom was Twin. So I'm glad to see them both go at the same time, though.
True.
For that.
That's a good point. I hadn't even really thought about that. But that
Alien versus Predator killed themselves.
Yeah. Call this one a draw. Just get rid of them both.
Yeah. But, I mean, Titan can still exist. It's just slower because they still have a Zusa.
And weaker. It's slower and weaker.
But yeah. Let's really evaluate. Did it abuse the format?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Turn two.
Turn two, if you have double amulet out and being able to generate 12 and 15 mana.
I mean, you're looking at a deck that could mold to five, maybe four. And still win.
Yeah, I mean, Alex and I playing once, I mauled to five, and I was still able to turn to him.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I did leave up Spell Snare because I thought no way he's going to turn to me on a mauled to five. Sure enough.
Is that fair in the format?
No, that thing deserved to go. Yeah, like, that's not the topic at all. Yeah,
turn two shouldn't be allowed. Like, good that's why riddance. I'm still a proponent of Grizzlebrand being banned.
Well, the big key difference there is that Grizzlebrand, if it doesn't turn to you, all of a sudden it's a very fragile-looking deck.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that.
Whereas Bloom, like, that thing could fail. It could go for it on turn two. You could pass two Titans, and then two turns later, it's at it again.
I remember putting together my version where I pulled out the Hive Minds and put in Enduring Ideals, and it still played the same way. I was just cheesing whenever I wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and the difference with Grizzlebrand, too, is it can fail. Once they go for it on turn two, like they could just have bad draw sevens off Grizzlebrand and just stop, not hitting Nourishing Shoal or whatever.
Yeah, and Interruption beat it up a lot harder than what it does to Primeval Titan decks. I mean, overall, I think Grizzlebrand is a fair deck to be in the meta. I'm fine with it. It's not a fair deck, but I'm okay with it existing just on the basis that you're kind of rolling the dice. Decks like that I don't prefer, but I'm fine with people playing it. I think I've picked up just as many lucky wins where they failed the combo as I have losses where they got the nuts. So I'm cool with that. I understand that the banning of Splinter Twin is going to have a much bigger effect on this, but I do think it is still worth pointing out to remember that Bloom Titan's gone too. So we're going to see some big shakeups. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. But looking at these decks that got worse, I think we've covered most of these points here. The biggest ones are mid-range decks that can't push through the 4-4s on turn two from the Eldrazi decks. I really do think Alex is right on this one, that we are going to be basing the format around these Eldrazi decks. I think we're going to be basing on, can you deal with these creatures? Can you deal with these interactions? I am very, very interested to see what happens with like a blue-white style control deck with Supreme Verdicts and things like that. Some of the Eldrazi, the cast effects will hurt it, but I think it can fight through it just fine. I think that there's a control deck that's going to emerge at some point. Maybe not immediately, but I think there's room
for it. I just think the problem that always have been the problem with control in Modern is, well, two things. One, their counter spells aren't counter spells. They're remain a main leak where they're not good the whole game. Right. And two, they can't close a game fast enough.
And I think you mentioned both of those. There is a possibility. This is speculation at this point, though. It's where I think Dragon Control might be able to make its way into Modern with Dragon Lord Dojutai and Silumgar's Command. Silumgar's Command is situational. You do have to have a dragon in hand. But we do have changeling spells that exist as well. So maybe that's a possibility. Maybe an Esper Dragons list where it can close out fast enough with Dragon Lord Dojutai. And it does have reasonable counter magic to where now we have things, you know, it lasts the whole game once you have a dragon around.
And it is just Force Spike, even in Silumgar Scorn. It's just Force Spike, which is still good early, even without a dragon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is where I would like to see a control deck, maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's room there. I think that there's room in the format. I don't know what it's going to look like. It may be a dragon-based deck. It may be retooling of Scape Shift. I mean, like, the Bring to Life versions are running the sweepers now, which seem like they're going to be pretty good against these Eldrazi decks to some extent. I know the land hate's there, but it's definitely opening the door a little bit. I don't know what control is going to be able to do with it, but there's a window there that didn't exist before, so that's worth mentioning for sure.
People are going to try, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's going to be maybe the best part about all of this. The most beautiful part is we're going to see some crazy brews. Like, I'm pretty excited to see what some of these tournaments start looking like. I wonder, so these bans are effective Monday, right?
22nd, I thought, on paper.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Friday?
Actually, like, this week we can still play Splinter Twin.
And yay. The Modo is a different day. I don't.
Magic Online always seems to follow Paper Magic, but because of what had happened with the beta, I think they may have just outright banned it all, but I can neither confirm that nor deny that.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Modo, but so as effective next weekend, though, so I mean, we'll see some early lists from some PPTQs and things like that, so that'll be interesting. I mean, Pro Tour is going to be the big time when we see the real changes, but we're going to see some effects here, you know, probably in the next week's tournaments, so I'm very excited to see what people brew up or what people do. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of affinity and things like that, things people already had laying around, but
Alex,
we might see some new spice.
Or anyone, for that matter. How do you feel the Mono Blacks matchup is against Burn, whether it be Nicotal Burn or traditional, you know?
Burn got better a lot, too. We forgot to mention that one, because Mono Black doesn't have life gain, is the biggest thing there.
And I don't want to see a field of aggro because, I mean, it's going to cause a
knee-jerk
reaction.
Like, it's the same with Standard. When there's a shake-up in Standard or a new format, you know, new block hits or whatever, rotation, it always goes to aggro.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not sure what's going to happen, a good strategy is to just beat face real quick.
Yeah.
It's worth a shot.
Yep.
Man, are there any other
big
decks?
Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Affinity and Infect are really good.
I see Affinity, Infect, Burn. You'll see your narrowing boggles getting a little better as long as you don't get Ugin'd.
Zoo?
Ooh, like a Naya?
See, I think Zoo gets worse.
Zoo gets worse.
Because they do most of their damage on the ground, and they can't push through Eldrazi.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was thinking this deck hasn't even been around for a very long time, and I think it's well-positioned to at least attempt either a mono-black or a black-white Pox deck featuring the smallpox. You know, we were mentioning how much this is going to be a land destruction format of some type. Well, what's better than a two-mana spell that destroys a land, you know? So
I agree with that.
Something to look at, something to think about.
Maybe it's time for Blink Riders to come back.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh, that'd be something good.
Oh, boy.
The return of the Blink Riders. Oh, man, I can't wait.
Is Pox a rare?
Don't.
The card?
Don't tell that to Shaheen.
I'm pretty sure Pox is a rare, yeah.
Is it a rare or uncommon? Jerry's saying uncommon. Rob.
I can't.
Got it.
Hit the internet, Rob. Get on it. The only reason I ask is because Pox may be a decent spec target.
No, small Pox. Pox is another card. Completely.
Oh, right. So small Pox.
Pox is rare.
Yeah.
No, we'll check out
small
Pox.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pox is only legacy legal.
Right, and I'm answering the question asked.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
So let's go to smallpox.
It's hard when you abbreviate something that also is another card.
Yeah.
And thanks a lot, Wizards. Just another thing on the list.
Uncommon.
Smallpox is uncommon. Do you have a price for it?
Yeah, hang on. Let me change it from the conspiracy set to M12. Card price, 37 cents.
Yeah, so probably not a great spec arguing image.
But, I mean, the deck I'm thinking about is particularly the black-white pox list, that was played years ago, where you would go turn one, Urborg Thoughtseize. Turn two, you play Flagstones of Trocaire, a legendary land that said when this land would go to the graveyard, you search your library for a plains and put it onto the battlefield. So you'd get to the player, you get to play your smallpox then and there, blow them out, and just attain value. You know, you discard a Lingering Souls from your hand, go find a plains. They have to sacrifice their whatever they, let's say they played like Thought Not Seer or some ridiculous Eldrazi turn two, and you're way ahead of the game at that point.
Yeah. No, I can dig it. I mean, that'll be an interesting kind of strategy. The other thing, Chris just passed me a piece of paper mentioning Gifts Control, and I think Gifts Control is definitely one worth mentioning. This could be an interesting way to go.
But that falls in the same category of graveyard hate is prevalent.
It does, but as a control deck, it should be able to, it can choose when it puts its stuff in the yard. Hopefully, yeah. They answer their grave hate before they go into their combo.
Yeah, it can play around it pretty well. Chris is writing things on paper. You can just tell us these things.
Yeah,
you have a microphone.
We're on air.
What you want to talk about.
I don't
know.
Me and Jerry talked about it last time. I want to see Mist Hollow Griffin start to get played. You want to play Graveyard Hate? Fine. I'll play with a card that abuses it with Delve, and I can cast it from Exile. Exile whatever you want. I'll use my Mist Hollow Griffins to delve something.
I never knew you were so passionate about this card.
Me and Jerry were talking about it coming home like,
I mean, I like the interaction with it in Legacy, but, man, it's the most passionate I've seen you about a blue card.
Well, he's,
ever.
Like, shoving this piece of paper at me and pointing arrows towards Miss Hologram. I'm like, I don't want to talk about that. Like, you can if you want, but now he's got value written by it, and it looks like a kindergartner because he wrote it, like, upside down and in big letters.
I want to find a way to abuse that card. Like, all right, cool. We want to abuse the graveyard. I'll do it, too. Watch this.
Jerry, what does Miss Hologriffin do?
Miss Hologriffin is a 4-mana...
3-3 flyer.
3-3 flyer where you may cast it out of exile as well as your hand.
So you fuel delve with it, and you get to go back and cast
it. It's fine in Legacy because there's a combo with it with Food
Chain.
And that's the reason
I don't want
Legacy.
The Food Chain Bobo. All
right. But Food Chain's not legal in Modern. It's never going to happen. Like, they're never going to reprint that card.
Yeah, you say he doesn't even want it. He just wants to cast a 3-3 for 4. Like, that's his dream.
Well, no, I mean...
if they exile it.
I mean, you use it to feed delve. Even if they counter it,
like,
it
feeds
delve. You put Gurmag Anglers.
A 3-3 flyer doesn't match up well with like a 6-8 body that Eldrazi pumps
out.
A 6-8 ground pounder. Like, you're still going over the top.
It's still a faster clock than you.
After turn 4. You can swing on turn 5 with it. Talking about a clock.
I'm going to find a way to break it.
All right. Well, we're probably never going to end up covering that on the cast because I don't think it's going to happen. But if that day comes, we will.
That'll be the first deck featured on MTG Bottom 8 deck tech.
Yeah, speaking of MTG Bottom 8, Mist Hollow Griffin tech. But I do think Gifts, though, is interesting. And I mean, you mentioned the graveyard hate. Yes, that does affect it. But out of all of the graveyard centric kind of strategies, it can play around it the most. I mean, you got instant speed Gifts and. You're pretty much choosing your battle when you want to fight it. So I think that opens the door a little bit more than most of the graveyard based
decks. I just
decks.
Don't know if it beats the mono black. Because, I mean, your two outs are the Iona and the Elish Norn.
Well, Iona does nothing against half that deck because it is colorless.
And Elish Norn, because all the bodies are fat, still
yeah, but,
does
but you
nothing.
Can still you can still tutor up, though, for like a Wrath package to get their guys off the battlefield.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's not. I don't think it's a great answer to the Eldrazi deck, but I think it's one that may be able to have a decent game against it that also answers most of the other decks pretty well.
I just don't think it's not a good answer to Tron, though, either.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I mean, the coolest Gifts package I had ever seen was Body Double, Revelark, Kiki Jiki, Mirror Breaker, Pestermite, where no matter what, I'm going to twin combo on my turn once you have an incremental amount of mana. So you are kind of playing that twin game still. but you're playing it in a much more hardcore control shell.
Yeah, you can fetch up win cons pretty easily, and I mean, yeah, if you build around it that way, you've got some more options. It's another one of the asterisk decks. You know, put a bookmark by it. I'm not going to say that it's great right now, but it's one that I've played briefly. I played Esper Gifts for a while and Blue White Tron with Gifts in it, and I enjoyed both of those strategies. And Twin was definitely kind of a pain for both of those decks, so especially Primeval Titan decks were a pain too. So it opens up the field for a little bit.
Gifts can get better too if they start using loam packages where you can life from the loam ghost quarter to put a beating on Tron.
See, there you go. Yeah, there's a great way to fight Tron. That's actually a really, really good idea.
Yeah, so something like a Soul Tire heavier version could exist and do some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, recur your ghost quarters, blow up all their lands.
Especially right, and you still get the Raven Scribe package where you can make them discard and things like that, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's, like I said, there's definitely some, it's worth keeping an eye on, that's for sure. Most of the decks right now, I mean, I think there's a lot of Tier 2, previously Tier 2, Tier 3 decks that are worth keeping a close eye on over the next few weeks. I will say for listeners, like, if you pick up on things like these or you're interested in them, you may be able to pick up some cards at cheap. It's a decent time to spec because there's going to be a lot of fluctuations. I'm not sure if that's going to have to get bleeped or not. That was a gray area there. But yeah, so I mean, there's going to be a lot of price changes is what I'll say. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's a bit of a gamble right now, but if you notice talk of a deck on the internet a bunch and you see some good arguments for it or even things that we cover, it might be worth picking up some cards. I think Gifts, we looked at it this morning before the cast, and it was still relatively the same price, so it hasn't seen an effect yet.
And, I mean, same thing goes for playing Magic Online. This black-white Eldrazi deck, it blew up online. Jeez, and
yeah, Magic
Online's paper card prices were really slow to catch up, and then next thing you knew, you had Eye of Ugin and Eldrazi Temple skyrocketing in price.
Yeah, yeah. So keep an eye on MTG Top 8. You may see some stuff feed into there from the Modo daily challenges and stuff that might be a good deck and hasn't quite hit the paper market yet. I mean, it's a time to be perseverant, that's for sure. I mean, a lot of people are going to get rewarded right now for paying attention to the things and the small changes that are happening into the meta, so keep your eyes open. We are getting... go ahead.
I would also like to add something here about kind of the design of the game that I find interesting. So in Oath of the Gatewatch, they kind of solidify Kalilus as the sixth mana, as you will. You know, they make it the diamond and all that. And the top decks all of a sudden become Kalilus for the most part in like Tron Affinity and Eldrazi. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on it earlier with my UFO theory, but it is convenient that the changes to Modern really bring in the new cards that they're printing right now. I mean, yeah, we'll just call it interesting for now, and we'll see. Jared, did you just write up a whole deck list while we were sitting here?
Yes. Absolutely, and I was chatting with you all at the same time.
Little idiot Savannah Magic over there.
Yeah, we got some Rain Man Magic going on over here. Churning out deck lists, yeah.
Chris was talking about Jeskai Ascendancy, so I wrote him a list.
Featuring
the new Oath of the Gatewatch card, Slip Through Space.
Yeah, and he never disappeared from the chat either in here, so, hey, all right. Good for you, you guys. You're killing it over there. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's really, like I said, though, I can't really harp on that enough that I wouldn't invest in anything too expensive right now, unless if you see it on the uptick and you can get in before it reaches its, you know, peak price. If things start to plummet, I mean, I don't think the non-Splinter Twin cards, like all the other blue and red cards, I don't think they're going to take a huge hit. I think we've mostly seen the damage already. $10 off of a Snap, you know, $15-$20 off of a Scalding Tarn. I mean, it's significant, but hopefully most people that have them, like, I feel so bad for anyone who is in the middle of building Twin right now. That's definitely the worst. Jerry and I showed Jerry a picture of someone posted on Reddit where they had just gotten their new altars in of Splinter Twin. Like, oh, jeez.
That's so bad. That's one thing I'm going to miss. Splinter Twin is one of the most fun cards to watch alters happen to.
Yeah. Well, now there's a bunch of cheap ones you can pick up if you want to try it yourself. Oh, jeez. But yeah, so, I mean, we are winding down here. Did you guys have any... I know... So, Alex... Are these all your predictions here on the show notes?
They are.
All right. So do you want to read these off then? Because
I will actually. So first off, I 100% think the Pro Tour is going to be won by a mostly colorless deck. Either Tron, Eldrazi, or Affinity is going to win the Pro Tour. Like, Okay. Straight up. No doubt in my mind. I also think there's not going to be a blue deck in the top eight. Like, there might be a blue splash, like, infect or something like that, but
right,
there's not going to be what we predominantly know as a blue deck in the top eight.
Okay.
And then also, I think either Eldrazi Temple or Iaugin is going to be banned this year.
All right.
Like,
so, we can check MTG top eight. Uh-huh. And if it consistently pulls 11% and it doesn't get an Iaugin or an Eldrazi Temple doesn't get banned, we demand...
Now, so right now I think the rules are all off, unfortunately, for what it takes a card getting banned. Yep. I think there's no
You think they have like a dartboard?
Dartboard, I mean, that's the most reasonable theory I've heard. So
I mean, there's an unhinged card that says, look, I'm R&D, and it's a picture of a guy throwing a dartboard.
If they have a bingo wheel and like they stole it from us.
That's
like,
true. We may need to be
maybe that's how we should predict bans and unbans.
Plus a bingo ball.
What deck is going to be great this week?
Oh, look, Serum Visions.
Looks like Boggles is our top deck of the week.
Slippery
Chris
Boggle
puts nothing
gets
but Boggles
now
into the bingo ball. It's the only option. But yeah, I mean, no, there's definitely some rhyme or reason. I mean, we see what they're going after, but as far as what dictates a safe card, that's gone. I mean, they couldn't have made that more obvious if they tried. The fact that, I mean, I won't shut up about this. The fact that it was in Modern Masters 2015 just blows my mind. I mean, I understand that these things get chosen far before they're printed, so there was probably in the pipeline for a long time for this to happen. But the fact that at one point in time, fairly recently, they were looking at Modern and saying, wow, Splinter and Twin's a great deck, we should make it more affordable. And then shortly thereafter, they go, wow, Splinter and Twin's a great deck, we should ban it. That blows my mind. Like, those two thoughts are so on the opposite end of the spectrum. So the fact that that happened really, I mean, I think that's the biggest travesty of all of it, was the fact that it was printed in that set. I mean, if you remove that variable, I become a little bit more okay with the banning. I still think it was a little unjustified, but that at least takes some of the feel bad out of it. But that included just really puts it over the top for me. So
the thing that puts it over the top for me too is in their article, like on the ban restricted list, they had a little write up of, oh, this is why we banned it and things like that. And they put on there in print, they like admitted to this, that Kiki Jiki was an adequate substitute for Splinter Twin. Like, that blows my mind that they think it's on the same power level.
It's another one of those logic fails where if that's true, then it should also be banned.
Well,
it's
not
true.
That, like,
it's not true, like, so it's not.
It costs
banned, but
three red. It's so restrictive on mana. Like, it gets bolted. It dies to everything. Yeah. No protection. It's just like...
It's clearly far worse. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly far worse. And that's kind of my point, was that they know it in their heart of hearts. They know that that's not true, because otherwise it would have been banned too. So just that statement in itself doesn't make any sense.
I mean, while we're at it, Sky Hussar is on the same power level as Deceiver Exarch. Sure.
yeah, that's a joke for 45% of our listeners. We're going
not
deep.
Not even like five. Five listeners, not even 5%.
I don't even think anyone got that joke.
No one.
Except Alex.
Just for Jerry, Alex, and one other listener. Jerry really looks out for our niche audiences, so we appreciate that. But yeah, so I mean, it really it sets a bad precedent. I'm sure, I don't want to harp on it too much, because I'm sure this is going to be, most podcasts this week are going to be doom and gloom. What have you done, Watsy? So to close all this out, let's look forward to hopefully a much more diverse Modern format. If nothing else, it'll be an adventure. We'll get to see what happens over the next few weeks, the next few months, and who knows if we'll recognize Modern in a few months here. Hopefully they didn't just destroy a great format. I don't think this isn't going to be as horrible as we think it is. I think it's going to turn out decent.
And stay tuned for our next giveaway, where the cards that we're going to be handing out are also going to be banned as well.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. Yeah, this sets a theme for our... Yeah, we're going to be...
Eldrazi Temple. We're handing them out.
Yeah. In about a year, we'll be giving out Eldrazi Temples. Prior to that...
I got some dig-through times we could give away.
We'll send out some dig-through times. Yeah. I got some treasure cruises floating around that we can send out.
Hey, here's a birthing pod.
What? Who was the player? This is. I probably shouldn't even bother bringing this up. But who was the player recently that got a loss in the top eight because his sleeves were worn down? Was that
Jeff Hoogland?
Jeff Hoogland.
Poor Hoogland, man. So whatever sleeves those were, we can send out a pack of those.
Legion supplies.
That should have been the news. I missed that on the news. Yeah, he bought a fresh pack of Legion sleeves, then received a loss for marked cards because they had shown wear. The main deck cards had shown more wear than the sideboard, so in theory, when he sides in, it would be easier to find sideboard cards. that's kind of common sense, and the fact that he had sleeved up with fresh sleeves before the event makes it kind of feel bad.
It's only 13 rounds too, because he had two buys.
Yeah, like, so if you like Legion sleeves, maybe be on the lookout for that. I don't know what to tell you, but we'll be sending some out in next month's giveaway.
But so, there was also some into your you know X-Files theory craft over here. There was also rumor that because what's his name had mentioned that pretty much the whole tournament he always had a turn one birds. You know, that maybe that led into the belief of Mark's sleeves. And I don't know. I just hope that that judge honestly felt that those sleeves were Mark. And not like, oh, well, this guy just played 13 rounds. And on top of it, you know, now he's playing in the top eight. Mark cards.
I mean, it feels silly on paper. But at the end of the day, I like to believe that these judges are, you know, fairly competent in their judging.
Yeah, I just hope that comment didn't have a part in it, because it was one of the commentators for SCG.
You know, when I look at it, I think, you know, if they're going to punish 20 people for the same offense and only one of them was being egregious with it, you know what? Good on them.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point.
Yep.
So we are way off the show notes now into uncharted territory. Any other random things anyone wants to cover before we close this one out?
Actually, we did miss something on the news. Okay. And this is the great pithing needle. What happened was in tournament play on camera. A player had played was playing against Grishelbrand, and he played his pithing needle, and he named
Island
Bora Borgmos. That's all he said was Bora Borgmos.
Borgamos.
That's all he said. Keyword is just that card name. So when his opponent went off the combo and he played Borgmos Enraged, the Pithing Needle, and named an obviously legal modern card, that it was
There are two Borgmoses. There's two Ravnicas that both had one.
Yep, the one that was in Guild Pact. Back many years ago, just Borgmos, and then Borgmos Enraged, which was in Return to Ravnica. And the player played it and called him on it. Now, my opinion on this is pros don't do that. Obviously, these players aren't at the highest pro level, and they're trying to get there. You do what you can to win.
Oh, wasn't it Bob Hung that was playing Grishelbrand?
Yeah.
He pulled the judge to the side before he went off to ask, like, this is naming the old card correct. He did a judge call.
But you won't see someone like Zvi Malschwitz pull that. Both players will understand, okay, I understood what you meant, and they'll continue on. Now, as another side note, why is he naming Borgmos Enraged and not Grishelbrand?
Yeah, you know.
Because he can't kill him.
Yeah, he can't.
Grishelbrand doesn't kill him by drawing seven.
No,
he can draw seven all day. It's the Borgmos that kills him.
Right. I get that, but he could just hit him with Grishelbrand, draw enough cards to just redo it again. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
On the next turn, he would do that because
true.
Gorya's Vengeance has you then sacrifice that creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exile.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you can't do it again.
But
so,
you're going to draw other copies.
Is the correct name.
Yeah, I think the naming was fine, yeah. Now, this is where Jerry and I differ, though, because in my mind, I'm thinking that was a great heads-up play by the opponent to double-check what the Pithing Needle named and to punish him for it. I mean, it is kind of feel badsy because it is clearly what the guy was going for. But I think that I like those kind of things in Magic where just being a little bit sharper, just being a little bit more paying attention is what wins it. Because if he played I was trying not
Big
to
B.
say that.
Big I always say Big B. Big B
Big
is
B.
what I
was about. Trying so hard to dodge saying it. But if he named that card, obviously the other player had to be a little bit sharper to realize that's not the full name. So someone was a little bit more aware, someone was paying a little bit more attention and punished him for it. I mean,
we've talked about it before too, where I think it was one of our earlier episodes where we talked about knowing how things happen, especially with, like, I think it was the stack episode where we talked about this is just the way I've always done it. This is how my friends understand it works, but it's not actually how it works, like shortcuts and things like that. So you have to know things like that.
You got to eliminate that kind of stuff. And I mean, the biggest takeaway, I think, though, is for listeners that if you're on the Pithing Needle side, definitely don't give your opponent that opportunity.
Yeah, because it's happened before with Vendalken Shackles and Shackles.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It also happened with Patrick Chapin many years ago, where he's got Chameleon Colossus on the board and he plays Profane Command, and a judge is right next to him and he says, "All my legal targets have fear." Congratulations, you just played around with words and got his opponent to scoop.
Yeah, so I mean, It's one of those things where, yeah, it does feel bad, and it feels bad for the guy playing it, but tighten up your Pithing Needle game. That's for sure. Like,
I think Pithing Needle is going to see more sideboard play, too.
Yeah, I could see it.
I mean, as far as, like, you know, it's good, tight technical play at the higher levels. You need to have that. Absolutely. I'm all about it. But it doesn't look good as far as a game. It's a gotcha factor that new kids don't want. I mean, if this had been a new guy playing, he would have, that would have been, good luck, Jimmy. And he's out. Yeah. He'd quit, you know, or something along those lines.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know. I see it on the other side of where, like, to be a complete Magic player, you need to be tight. Like, and I'm fine with punishing people for playing a little looser.
That's the reference of the old Wild Wild West of Magic, like when damage used to stack. Did you ever know that Mog Fanatic could deal 2 damage by itself on the same turn? Absolutely, but some people didn't know it. Ah, gotcha. See, the big gotcha factor, and that's what they've been trying to eliminate.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't fault you for that opinion at all. Like, I think that that's morally, that's the way to go. I still have that. I'm a gotcha kind of guy.
I'm not saying I won't do it.
I love getting people.
I'm not saying I won't do it, because at a competitive level, yeah, I would do it. But on a morals level, should this be around? No.
Right, yeah, okay. From a judging standpoint, yeah, I could see where the judge maybe should have intervened and said, look. But then again, with rules, you really... You have to play to what happened, not what should have happened. You know what I mean?
And that comes down to the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also a big fan of I'm going to learn you today. Like, when I was playing Kiki Core, that's just fun. You ordered up something that they didn't think about, and you're like, ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it kind of gives benefit to its... There's so much variance in Magic that I like things like that, where it separates players strictly on skill. And I know a lot of people would disagree and say that's not skill if it's this gotcha kind of thing. But in my book, it really is. I mean, it's just another aspect of tight technical play. It's the same as the player who takes the top card off of his deck and slides it on the mat before he picks it up to make sure he doesn't draw two. Like, we know that sometimes cards stick and you didn't mean to draw two, but you did, and now there's a penalty, you know, enforce that comes with it. So it feels bad.
Or drawing 9.
Do what?
Or drawing 9 off a rev.
Get out of here. Yeah, see, so my opponent got me on that one. We've talked about that story. We're not going to go into that again. But my opponent got me on that, and as bad as I felt, I never really held it against him. I mean, I probably said, F that guy, as I was, you know, in my head as I was walking away. But 5 minutes later, after the salt was all worn off, I was like, eh, good on him. Like, so, you know, I mean,
damn,
it's...
I'm complete.
Yeah, I think it's part of, and you know what? I did that. I pretty much eliminated myself in round one of an open, and then I top eighted the next open I went to. So sometimes you need those feel bad moments to really tighten up your game, and yeah, I'm fine with it. But we are way off the tracks. Does anybody else have any other crazy things they want to talk about?
No.
I think we're watching the snow out the window, and we just don't want to have to deal with the real world. We don't want to leave this podcast room.
Yeah, no, it's on the road now.
Yeah, it's game time here in Virginia. But all right, guys, we are going to be getting out of here. Rob, do you have any announcements before we get out of here, other than your
other than
farewell?
Normal spiel? So again, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for all the feedback that you provide for us. Please check out our Facebook at www.facebook.com/thesnapcastmtg. Check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thesnapcast. We did post the 8th edition draft that Alex did, and we're hoping to get a lot more videos up. Hopefully we can get Chris and Jerry in there. You're not going to see any more Infect videos from me. If you're tired of them, you're welcome. If you're not, I'm sorry. And then... feel free to check out our website at www.thesnapcast.com. We have a whole bunch of new articles going up. We're still going to be posting weekly articles from me. I'm going to be the Tupac of article writers. I'm going to die, but still put out stuff. So that's really it for me.
We got our show title, Tupac of article writers. Finally, it came in at the last minute. Oh, man. Rob just did all that with no notes either. That's really impressive. I'm bummed out that you got so good at announcements and now you're leaving.
Come so far, since
Chris. I hope you start studying up. It's going to be your job. After
I
this.
Mean, how many takes did it take you in the beginning to read like 3 sentences?
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, guys, but this is so ad libbed. You should see this. This is impressive.
This is impressive. Yeah, here. He's a machine.
And
the bingo ball going handy.
I did forget one because it's new for us. Twitch.tv/thesnapcast. Keep an eye out. We post updates on Facebook only because we don't have an actual schedule out there yet. We're trying to do it, but with all of us being busy with the jobs, winter seasons, and people moving and that, it's a time crunch. But keep an eye out. We do update, and if there is a cancellation for whatever reason, we put it out there as soon as possible.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be playing on there here shortly, and Young come laugh at me playing.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm looking That's very much forward to that. Greatest thing ever. It's going
to
be more.
We might have to get like an R rating for that one. It's Chris just going to start cussing up a storm.
We will. Yeah. It'll be 13 and up, strictly. NC-17.
Yeah.
Snapcast.
We'll
Twitch
send
TV.
You parental permission forms.
Yeah, we're going to need you guys to fill that out. It's going to be more akin to a comedy than a learning event, but yeah. It'll be a blast.
Because that's, I mean, it's fun. I mean, when Rob was playing, me and Alex were tearing Rob up, but it was all in good fun.
I know. Like, I popped in when I wasn't really paying attention. I was working from home, and I kind of had it up, and I looked over. I'm like, man, who are these a-holes just, like, giving Rob the business? And then I read the names. I'm like, oh, it's these idiots. Oh jeez. But I mean, congrats to us, man. Like 20 episodes, we're killing it. And like, it really, I'm glad Chris pointed it out, because it is funny how much more natural we all feel on this. I mean, I think like Chris has only backed away from the mic like one time.
Yeah,
he almost took a nap in that chair a second ago. He's leaning pretty far back.
The snow's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very soothing. But yeah, I mean, thanks to all you guys, the listeners. Thanks to all you guys, my fellow co-host here on the show. I mean, this has been awesome. Like,
it's
this has
fun.
Been a great time. Yeah, it's a blast. For listeners, don't start a podcast because we don't want any more competition. We have plenty. You can record them and don't post them. Like, that's fine. Just enjoy all the upsides. Don't deal with the technology part. That part's horrible. But yeah, man, good on us. Cheers to the Snapcast. Get your bottles of water. We're actually cheering.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're so like blooperish today, but heck yeah. I swear they just crunched those bottles as much as they could have during that.
Absolutely.
I can see the spikes on the computer. Oh jeez.
Rather absolutely.
But oh, all right. So that is gonna wrap it up for us this week. Thanks again to all the listeners. Thanks again to everybody. Feedback, like always. I'm sure we've already said it. Rob killed it. But feedback. We love it. We've gotten tons of people commenting on Facebook and messaging us and leaving feedback, just thanking us for doing the cast and talking about how much they love it. And that means the world to us. I mean, we all have huge egos already, and they're growing by the day. So keep sending the love. It's nice to know that this is like reaching people and people are enjoying it. So we appreciate that a lot. But all right, that'll do it for us this week, this extra long, modern, rific episode of the Snapcast. Adios. Bye.
Bye-bye.